Thank you for joining me today. This is the Life After 30 podcast, and I am your host, Joey Hernandez. I have been a personal trainer and diet coach for over 30 years. Together each week, we will explore the joys of aging. And yes, I said the joys of aging, because that is truly what it can be. Please join me as we discuss our health, diet, weight loss, fitness, and many other topics as we move through the decades of our lives. We may be getting older, but we ain't going down without a fight. Hey, folks. So tell me, how would you like to live for 100 years? And I don't mean locked away in a nursing home or having your movements be painful and restricted from muscle and bone breakdown, but I mean really live as an active, happy, fully conscious human being. Have you ever had anyone in your family live to over 100 years? Now, not too many years ago, you would hear most people say that they did not want to live that long because the quality of life and the possibilities of a happy future become so limited once you pass the age of 90. But times, they are a-changin'. In 2012, the United Nations estimated that there were 316,000 living centenarians worldwide. And that number is expected to rise fast in the future. In 2013, one-third of all babies born in various parts of the world are expected to live until the age of 100. With scientific and medical breakthroughs, many of you listening to this podcast right this very minute might very well live until the age of 100. So at my age of 57, I gotta say, it's almost incomprehensible to me that I might possibly have just moved over the halfway point of my life. Ugh. It's kind of scary. Which becomes scarier, the thought of dying or the thought of living to 100? A lot of data shows that the ability to live to 100 is greatly based on genetics. But does lifestyle also affect that number? And if those of us who have believed that we are currently 3/4 of the way through our lives, can lifestyle change, or lifestyle fine-tuning, even at our age, possibly result in that much of an extension of our existence? Food for thought. Or maybe less food for thought. Ha-ha! My name is Joey Hernandez, and this is The Blue Zones, Live to Age 100, the 75th episode of the Life After 30 podcast. So let me start by giving a quick shout out to the country of Brunei. This country is located on the northwestern edge of the island of Borneo, and I've been really fortunate enough to have an increased listenership in this country of Brunei. So a special hello, and thank you so much for joining me each week. So here we are into the second week of our 10-week weight loss diet. If you're new to this podcast and haven't started yet, it is never too late. Please listen to past podcasts and join our quest to lose weight in the time leading up to the start of the holiday season, Thanksgiving week. And no matter what time of year you might be listening to this podcast, you can still lose weight during a 10-week period. Join us and start by listening from podcast 71 and forward and setting your own goals and follow along. Come on and join us, no matter when it is. So, how is the diet period working for you? I laid out the preparations for you and then the diet itself. And in the last podcast, we talked about some issues that can cause complications in your efforts. So at this point, if you've been following the diet strictly, you should have started to lose some of your water weight. That's always a good start because you get to see a fairly good drop in your body weight within the first couple of weeks. And then, because you're seeing progress, it fuels your motivation to continue on. I always get really, really excited, in case you can't tell. I always get excited in the first couple of weeks when I start dropping body fat. It definitely, though, takes some adjustment. At the beginning is when it's the hardest to turn away from the comfort foods that have the excessive carbohydrates, excessive sugar, and saturated fats. I've always kind of thought that nature was having a little bit of a chuckle on us, in that the foods that often taste the very best to us are the ones that seem to be the ones that are bad for us. Now, I know that statement's going to be argumentative. A lot of people will say, oh no, eating healthy, that's great. It's the best food in the world. Well, eating healthy makes you feel lighter. It makes you feel more energy, and in many ways it brings out the very best in you. But if you are stranded on a desert island, knowing that you're going to pass your final years away in solitude, I think it would be fair to say that very few would wish for the healthiest of food if we had a choice of any food that we could have on that island. Under those extreme circumstances, comfort would be such an important factor that the beach of the island would be littered with takeout containers piled up with pizza boxes, Twinkie wrappers, and every other kind of packaging of those foods that we love for the taste, yet we hate what they do to our body. In anything new, though, the beginning is always the hardest. There was a great book and movie in the 1970s. I loved this. It was called The Paper Chase. And its theme song stated, "First days are hard days." And whenever I've started something new, like a new job, a new type of workout, and certainly, most certainly when I've started a new weight loss diet, that statement always comes back to my mind. First days are hard days. In just about everything we've ever done, think back on the first days of starting whatever job you currently have. You didn't know the people. You weren't quite sure what was expected of you. You almost secretly had a feeling like maybe you weren't qualified for the position, maybe, and that scared you. First days are hard days. But then after a short time in your new job, you made some friends with coworkers, you settled into what the job was all about, you gained some confidence as you succeeded in small tasks, then that confidence allowed you to push further and become better at your job, perhaps even getting a promotion. And so it will be with this weight loss diet. At first, it's totally new, and you feel like you have absolutely no idea what you're doing. You aren't sure that you can succeed. You look back at past experiences, probably that you view as failures, and therefore, keeping yourself moving forward with this new diet at times becomes very difficult. First days are hard days, but they pass. I believe you can do this diet, or I never would have done the episodes to get you started. What sense would it make if I were to do weight loss diet podcasts and feeling that those of you who listen to them and work at adherence to the diet, what if I thought you ultimately could not do it and would fail? That would not be very smart on my part. Now, I know sometimes I don't do the wisest things in my life, but I think that is something I'd never do, because that would be crazy. I believe in this diet. I've used it for so long with so many people, and I believe in your abilities and everyone's abilities to learn this diet, to stick to this diet, and have wonderful, lasting results. I believe in you right now, even if you may not have a lot of belief in yourself. But that's why I'm here, right? That's why you tune in. Either that, or you get a chuckle from me. But I am here to hold you up and let you know that you can and will be successful. So please, trust in my experience and trust in yourself that you can overcome negative habits, even if those habits you have practiced for your entire lifetime. You have the ability to do anything you want. You have the ability to be anything you want. And I want you to feel pride every hour of every day as you reach small successes, and those are going to fuel you on to bigger successes. First days are hard days. So hang in there. I'm right here with you. Hey, you know what? Let's talk about the Blue Zones. A gentleman by the name of Dan Buettner, in partnership with National Geographic, identified and studied five areas in the world in which people are living to 90 or even 100 years, but in a vibrant and healthy way without medication or disability. Those five areas are the Italian island of Sardinia, Okinawa, Japan, Costa Rica's isolated Nicoya Peninsula, Icaria, an isolated Greek island, and Loma Linda, California. Now, in first hearing the first four mentioned areas, you would begin to draw conclusions that perhaps diet and lifestyle are the greatest influences in these longer lives. Just the names of themselves indicate more isolated areas, which would mean less pollution, less invasive technology, and other industrial factors. These were certainly the immediate conclusions I was drawing in my brain as I started to read these studies. But then the fifth one, a town in California? That made me question my assumptions. These five blue zones were studied for more than 5 years with on-site investigation. And Mr. Buettner refers to a Danish study of twins that helped form the belief that longevity could actually be 10% human genes and 90% lifestyle. That made my mouth drop. 90% could be lifestyle. Now, currently, one in each 5,000 people reach 100 years age worldwide. But it's the fastest growing demographic. So what allows these five areas to have such a high population with vitality at an older age? Well, let's look at a few of the blue zone areas and then try to look at the commonalities that are between them. The highlands of Sardinia actually have the oldest of the male population. They tend to live a simple life with farming and livestock, and many of the older males are shepherds, out and about and doing their work every day. Sardinia is known also for their great wine, so I'm going to hop a plane any day now for that. Okinawa has the oldest of the female population. They eat primarily a plant-based diet, and they eat tofu 8 times more than Americans. I know there's a lot of talk about tofu and that men can eat too much tofu and it will increase your estrogen too much, but a lot of those studies, the determination is still out. They're constantly studying that. But studies have shown that they have less overeating in Okinawa, and they tend to eat off smaller plates, and many have the habit of serving from the counter rather than putting the food onto the table in bowls. So they serve from the counter, and then the food is put away. They don't eat it in the family style, which is the usual American way. There is a word, I'll probably butcher this, but hara hachi bu, and they use that for their diet, which reminds them to stop eating when they feel their stomach is 80% full. What's the American way? Eat until you're full. And through the course of years, eating more until your stomach stretches out and you gain body fat. So getting to the point of being full is by increasing, constantly increasing, your food consumption. That's quite different. The study of Okinawa has drawn the conclusion also that isolation kills. He cites that years ago, Americans had 3 close friends, and now it's down to 1.5 as an average. In Okinawa, there's a small, tight group of 5 ladies known as mo'ai, who have been together as a group of friends, get ready for this, for 74 years. I think my longest friend might be 20, 25 years. I recently recontacted some people in high school, so maybe that's going to give me like 35 years. But 74 years. The average age of these 5 ladies is 102. And they get together regularly and they socialize with each other as a tight-knit group. How they manage to get along for 74 years, I will not understand. Various studies on isolation have shown that it has a powerful impact on a person's physical well-being, and it was determined that lack of a social connection can be as damaging as smoking and drinking too much. In Okinawa, there is no word for retirement. Now, I'm not going to keep you in suspense anymore about California. The town of Loma Linda is home to a large population of Seventh-day Adventists. In a TED Talk, and in case you've never heard any of the TED Talks, TED Talks, you can Google it. There's some amazing videos, very motivating. They tell stories about things that you never would have thought about. It's an incredible way to learn some great information through some great stories. But in his TED Talk, Dan Buettner tells the story of a 97-year-old man who's a Seventh-day Adventist. He wanted to have a fence built on his property. He was quoted $6,000 to build this fence. Well, the 97-year-old man determined that was ridiculously expensive. So for the next 3 days, he poured cement, he carried his own wood, and he built that fence himself. Over 3 days. And then, on the 4th day, it was not surprising that he was in the hospital in the cardiac operating room. However, this 97-year-old man was not the heart patient on the operating table. He was the surgeon. And at 97 years old, he still does 20 open heart surgeries per month. And this is a gentleman who grew up in the United States. And through lifestyle, quite possibly the main factor of why he was able to remain active and so vibrant in his vitality and life. These stories certainly don't sound like the American way. We live most of our working lives dreaming and planning for retirement, and then find all too often that once we get to it, we're either in poor health and can't enjoy it to its fullest, or we find ourselves not even having anything to do. No reason whatsoever to get up in the morning. And without that motivation, you just don't have a reason to go on. In Okinawa, there's a word, ikigai, which means a reason to get up in the morning. There was a 102-year-old woman, and her ikigai, her reason to get up in the morning, was her great-great-great-granddaughter. They were separated by 101.5 years in age. But this one woman found the joy of life in her granddaughter. So let's talk about the commonalities of these five areas of the world. One is to move naturally, not necessarily exercise, but moving every day, movement every single day. A second thing is to have the right outlook by keeping your stress level low and find a purpose for your life. Find your ikigai. Another one is to eat wisely. If you drink alcohol, try to have wine up to 5 times per week. Just a small glass of red wine. And check with your doctor before you do that. Try to eat a plant-based diet. It's well known that Americans, and more of the world as it's influenced by America, eat a heavy, saturated fat animal diet. And try to develop the practice using the 80% rule. Stop eating when you feel 80% full, because just like drinking alcohol quickly if you're in an uncomfortable social situation, the liquor, you know, when you do that, it still has to catch up with you, so you become drunker and you feel the effects later on. The same thing with food. If you can stop when you're 80% full, within a short time, you will begin to develop that full feeling. A fourth commonality is to connect. Try to increase your social interaction if you tend to be a loner. You don't have to do that 74-year thing with friends, although wouldn't that be amazing if you had friends that you feel really close with? Imagine if you lived that kind of lifestyle and you could all be friends for 74 years. I cannot even imagine it. I wish my life could be like that. Spend time with your loved ones always as your first choice. Belong to your community, or if you don't feel like there is a community, start a group yourself. Encourage your friends to bring friends who will bring friends. Start your own group. Belong to the right tribe. Choose the right friends. If you hang out with unhealthy people, you will begin to live that lifestyle yourself. Studies have shown if you have 3 overweight friends, you have a 50% greater chance that you will be overweight yourself. I guess because you always go out and pig out together, right? You influence each other's eating and drinking. I'm going to post a concentric circle diagram of Sardinia, Okinawa, and Loma Linda that illustrates the overlapping commonalities. You're going to find the post on the main blog of this podcast. And what is the main blog of this podcast? TheHumanConstructionSite.blogspot.com. If you listen to me regularly, you can probably say that in your sleep. So now the question becomes, can we change our lifestyles enough that will improve our health and increase our chance of longevity? Perhaps I'm one of too optimistic of an attitude about this, but I believe the answer is yes. If you've become a listener to this podcast, or you found it via iTunes search, or clicked on a link on Twitter, that illustrates that you have a desire to live a healthier lifestyle. So I'm going to guess that some of these common traits you are already living and doing. So you're way ahead of the pitch. Between this information gathered from this study of the Blue Zones, together with the studies published in regard to the use of sauna for longevity, I personally am very optimistic that despite some medical conditions and restrictions I currently have at age 57, that by me increasing some of these habits, I may not live to the ripe old age of 100, but I'm certainly going to exceed the boundaries of the average living age of my family members. Please listen to podcast number 68, which discusses the use of sauna for the extension of life, if you've not heard it before. And so, as we diet and exercise and begin practicing some of these habits that show that we can live a longer, healthier life, as the trees turn to beautiful color and fall off as the earth goes into its dormant state in some parts of the planet, it can be like spring blossoming anew for us with our bodies and minds. And I mean that. We just have to begin slow, progressive changes in our lifestyle. And I know I can do it. And trust me, folks, trust me. If I can do it, you can do it. I really believe that. This has been the 75th episode of the Life After 30 podcast. My name is Joey Hernandez, and if you haven't had the extreme joy of listening to my disclaimer, it's going to follow immediately, and it's very important information, so please take a moment to give it a listen. Meanwhile, we continue with our weight loss diet. In a few days, we'll be starting our third week. I hope you're having success. I'd love to hear your personal stories of whether the diet's working for you or if you are stumbling and having problems. It's through your emails that I am able to determine what areas in this weight loss process need more attention. So my contact information, my personal email, is personaltrainerjoey@gmail.com. Please, always feel free to contact me with any questions or comments, positive or I suppose negative. More positive. And of course, as my parting words, please, please subscribe. You don't want to miss a moment of the fun that we have every week. I'm going to see you all next week. Continue to diet. Bye now. Hey folks, Joey Hernandez here of the Human Construction Site podcast, and this is a pre-recorded disclaimer that I'm going to insert into each episode of the podcast. So please give me just a moment of your listening time and listen to this disclaimer. First of all, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to listen to the Human Construction Site podcast. I hope that the information that you receive from the podcast is unique and useful to you in your quest to live a healthier and more vibrant life. I have been a personal trainer for over 30 years. This podcast and the Human Construction Site blog that it is tied to are based on my opinions and my experience working with clients all these years. I am not a doctor. I ask that any and all information that you receive from me, as well as anywhere else on the internet or on TV or on websites, books, wherever the source, that you discuss that and review it with your personal physician before implementing any kind of lifestyle changes. Your doctor knows you best. He or she knows your personal medical history, knows your medications, your family's history, and together you with your physician should have a dialogue to ensure that any changes are right for you. So please, 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 please consult your doctor. Thank you.